Hope is a curious thing. And it's a curious thing because it's one of those intangibles without which we really can't live. We don't pay a lot of attention to it necessarily until we realize that either someone we love or someone, perhaps ourselves, has become hopeless. Not somebody who's having a bad day, but the loss of hope is just an extraordinarily awful thing. I've been around it both externally and internally, as is anyone who's had to deal with depression, their own or someone else's. And that sense of hopelessness, where the color drains out of everything, almost makes life not worth living. And some people, in fact, make that choice because they have no hope. But what do we hope for? Talking about it with the children. We don't hope for those things that we already have. That's foolish. I, for example, don't hope that I can stand up at the moment. I am. Hoping for what is already here is something else. It's noticing what is. And there's nothing wrong with noticing what is. It's a good idea now and then to try and live in the present moment instead of the past or the future. But we don't hope for the present moment. We hope for the future. That's what hope is about. It's looking forward to things that aren't here yet. And sometimes our hope is quite confident. We're virtually certain it will happen, but there's still that little tiny bit of uncertainty. And that hope keeps us moving forward. It gives us something to look forward to. And in Scripture, we have this fascinating picture of something to look forward to that Isaiah talks about. Time will come when they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. We won't study war no more, as a song has taken us there off and on. What a profound and extraordinary thing to hope for. It's not very easy to hope for it right now. There are very few nations, there are very few people, for that matter, that seem to be moving this direction. We all know some. We know people who have made a choice to live a life of peace in a way that is dramatically different than most of the rest of us. Off the top of my head, I can think of one country that diverted their defense budget into something else and improved the lot of the entire country. It can be done. It's not very easy, and it's not very common. But this is one of the things we hope for. But is it a utopian hope? Going back to the very original meaning of the word utopia, Thomas More called his book Utopia because utopia means no place. It means it's impossible. We've shaped that meaning into a perfect future. Is this a utopian hope, one that will never happen? It's just something we work towards, like personal perfection. Well, no, it's more than that. Because this isn't some political scientist, it's not a theorist who's told us that this will happen, it's God who's told us that. It seems a long way off. And as I was looking at our texts, I was reminded again that there's a couple of ways we can take what Paul talks about, where he says, and do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And we can trivialize that with a cynical perspective that says, of course it's closer than when we first believed. So is being dead. So is everything. You know, I have now set a new record in my streak of being alive. And it's just, you know, so what? Of course we're closer. We're not going backwards. Benjamin Button was a movie. It's not a reality. This is how it works. And we can look at it that way if we're having a bad day. Or we can look at it instead for the truth that it is. And it's a reminder that we are moving towards something that is coming. And we are closer to it now than we were before. Will we see it in our lifetimes? I don't know. I hope so. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing about wars and difficulties of all sorts, and I would like them to go away. And this appears to be the only way they will. But I'm not the first person who's felt that way. My parents weren't in favor of war, and they didn't see it happen, and their parents, and on it goes. Thousands and thousands of people lived in this same hope, the hope that Isaiah had. Isaiah talked about. The hope that is demonstrated for us in the life of Jesus in a particular way. Not universally, but we saw and we see in Jesus the possibility of living a life that is not interested in conflict and destruction, but in wholeness and healing. We know it's possible, but it's something we have to hope for. And I don't know about you, but I don't do hope as well as I'd like, at least about a lot of things. I think I should know. And then I think, well, wait a second, why should I know? For that matter, why should any of us know? Because let's take a look at what Matthew has to say about it, where Jesus is talking and he says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, okay, that's fine, nor the Son. So I want to know something that Jesus didn't know. And when you put it that way, it comes across as perhaps a little prideful, a little I'm not sure what. Not the kind of statement I really want to stake my reputation on, that I want to know more than Jesus. Do I have to know? No, I don't. What I have to have is hope. As most, or at least many of you are aware, in January of this year, I went into the hospital, had an operation, got some bone spurs removed, which in my usual way assumed that I would be fine in a few weeks. I thought, okay, it's both feet and it's not a knee. I did get both knees scoped once, so that took a week and a half. This will be a month, maybe. I'll be back to work in a couple weeks and it'll be fine. Well, you remember how much I complained about that, and still do. And it was probably, that was in January, what would it be? Probably May, April, May into June, that I just thought, this is forever. This is just going to be the way it is. And I was as close as I think I can come to giving up hope that I would ever be better. And so I went to physiotherapy. And this person who is skilled in the manipulation of the physical body to make things better began the process of healing my soul, not just my body. Because what she did is she gave me hope. This is a new thing for me. I haven't had anything in my entire life that has taken that long to get over. I had a ruptured disc removed, and I was playing basketball in a few months. You know, I'm just not used to this, and so I just sort of fell into this idea that this is it. Okay, fine. I'm going to spend the rest of my life never going upstairs or downstairs for one thing. There had to be at least two things for me to go up or downstairs. One wasn't enough. Because it was really uncomfortable. It was really unpleasant. And so I went to see this person. I went to see Amanda, who is just an optimistic, pleasant person. And I mentioned just some of this. Is this ever going to get better? She looked at the x-rays. She looked at this. She did all those things that they do. And she said, you're doing fine. She said, you're progressing exactly as I would have expected. You're not fast. You're not getting better faster than most people would. But you're not getting better slower either. This is just what it is. This is what's happened. They cut some of your bones off. They moved your Achilles tendons and stuck a couple of anchors in your feet. What do you expect? And I said, I expect to be better. She said, well, you're not. But you will be. And so I saw her every week for a while, and then every 2 weeks, and now it's about every 3 or 4 weeks as we continue to work at this. And she is the one who speaks the truth into my life in this small aspect that says, you are getting better. It doesn't matter what you think. You're not equipped to make this judgment. I am. You're getting better. And she's right. Now I go up and down the stairs for one thing. And if I forget the thing and have to go back up and down the stairs, I don't even think about it. There's still some issues now and then, but I don't resent having to wear shoes. I don't have any of those things because I have gotten better. And I think part of the getting better was becoming less miserable about it because my hope was restored. Our hope in the future can be restored. Not because we can see it, because that's not hope anymore. At this point, I don't hope all of you are here. I look out and you're here. I don't have to hope for that. We don't see the ultimate end, the ultimate good end of creation yet. But we have hope in it. And we hope for it. And we look forward in hope. And we remind ourselves that Jesus came to demonstrate part of what it means to be in relationship with God. Not all of it, but part of it, and a very important part. And when he left, he said, I'm coming again. That's where our hope comes from. And every year we kick off the first Sunday of the liturgical year. Happy New Year, by the way. A new liturgical year starts with the lighting of the candle of hope. Because without hope, we have nothing. Without hope, there's no point in getting up. But with hope, we can do almost anything. And this is what we celebrate today. Because hope is for now. Hope is what we have now, looking into the future. We don't have that yet. We have confidence it will come, and we hope for it. And we look forward to the day when we will know that there are no more swords. There are no more spears or whatever the equivalent will be. Because that's all over. What are you hoping for? What am I hoping for? Oh, in the big picture, we're hoping for this. But in the short term, not just the ultimate destiny of the world and everyone in it. What are we hoping for? God's interested in those hopes as well. It's the hope of a better future for ourselves or our children, perhaps, or our friends. It's hope for the restoration of relationships, the repair of our physical bodies sometimes. All of these things that we have hope in matter to God also. They're part of that candle of hope. Advent is a time of hope and a time of waiting. It's practice for us. We can hope for anything for a month. And when we practice that kind of thing, we realize that we can hope for the most important things until they arrive. Because hope is what we do now. We wait for the consummation, we wait for the culmination of all things. And it is the hope for that that keeps us going. In this Advent season, with all of its busyness, all of its delights, let's not lose sight of the fact that it's all about waiting, but waiting in hope. Amen.